All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That is a blessing. I thank God for Brother Horton.
Amen.
You know, some of those details I never would have thought about. I just thank God for that. Okay, we finally going to get to Acts 20.
You usually don't go into it that deep. No. Keep service.
I like it.
Most people will choke on it. The reason why Paul here, they said, I have to give you milk. He said, but you're supposed to be mature. And being with Adam and Eve.
Time for us.
It's time for maturity.
Most people gloss over and everything. They start talking like that because they do. They just,
that's true.
The only thing they want to do is just have their little weekly sermon, go home and watch TV.
This is time for, you know, it's time to be mature and go forward in the Lord.
Yes, it is, brother.
We're the end time church.
That's
this
right.
is the end time church.
Yeah. And what happened?
Come on, people, when we're going to get it, when we're going up in the rapture, then we go, oh, that's what he did.
You know we're making history.
Figured out after this, after it's gone. Oh, that's what he meant.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. These are the days of Acts.
We will. God is releasing.
Yes,
that's
we
right.
will know.
He's raising up teachers. Mm-hmm. That's what the fivefold ministry was.
That's
right.
Exactly what it's for.
That's right.
That's exactly
that's what I'm praying, but he raised up people to really equip the church.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because these are the days
of ministry. You're equipping the church for the ministry.
And that's happening every single country, what you're talking about.
That's right.
Every single country. The Middle East, man, supernatural stuff has happened over there. Jesus, man, it's just, he's freaking out over there.
I like it.
Not telling it.
No, they ain't going to tell them. But we'll find out about it. You know, God got things in place called YouTube and other things.
Come on. Praise the Lord.
I listened to Jonathan Cahn this week, and he talked about Donald Trump, and he talked about the Harbinger and the Shemitah, and it was a blessing.
Where'd you hear him?
On YouTube.
Oh, on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And... I'll send you a link on your cell phone.
All right.
Yeah. It was a blessing. And Perry Stone, too.
Just listen to him as more.
Yeah. I thank God for the prophets that he's raising up. These are the days of Acts.
Yeah. Yes, these are days of Acts. Yes, they are.
And we're making history now.
Yes, we are.
You know, and what you just did, it's going to be on the web, and people can listen to it all around the world. Okay, we finally made it to 27, Acts 27. And now Paul's he's getting ready to sail to Italy. It says, and it was determined that we should sail into Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us, and the next day we touched in Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had lunched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, the city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cindius, the wind not suffering us, we sail under Crete, over against Salmone. And these cities, these are the names of these cities, is like a tongue twister.
It's horrible.
And hardly passing it came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, near whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship, more than those things which were spoken by Paul. You know, in life I've learned to listen for the voice of God. At any time, the Lord can use someone to speak his word. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe it and receive it at that time, you may make a decision that will cost you. How many Christians have you heard say, something told me not to do that, or something told me it would go this way? That's the Holy Spirit speaking a word that we can, so that we can avoid trouble. And so many times, people miss it. And they go on and they have the trouble and they wish they would have listened. So being aware of that, whenever the Lord warned me of something, we don't do what we should do. We don't do what's wise. We do what's in our heart. Whatever our desires are, if it's in our heart, that's what that voice is the loudest to us. Even though we have a brand new heart, what we decide to do, our will is attached to it, and we live from the heart. That's why Solomon said in the Proverbs, guard your heart, for out of it is the issues of life. So in order to hear God and benefit from what he's saying, the more of his word you receive, the stronger your heart will be. And when he speaks, you'll detect him faster. The Lord used to speak, and if my will was too strong, I'd go on and have trouble. But knowing that can happen, I study the word, and when he speaks, I pause. And immediately, if I'm not in a full agreement, I start speaking what he said. Because your words shape your will. Before I make any life changes, the changes of life that last, that I follow through with, are the ones that I speak by faith. Because he said, the just shall live by his faith. So whenever I want to make a change, I speak it. And then my life will follow it. And it's easier to cooperate with the Lord that way. Because he can always say something that you may not want to, you may not want to receive, or you may not see it that way. But this was a case where they really needed to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And in the previous verses, Paul had a good rapport with them because they gave him liberty to go to his friends and refresh himself. They trusted him, but they didn't trust him here. And we're going to see it costed them later. So when the Holy Spirit guides us, he's looking at what's in our heart, what we want to do, and what that decision is going to mean to us in the future. So he'll guide us. And to take advantage of that, a healthy study of the word helps you be strong enough to stick with what he said. And then speaking the word, it helps. You can change everything with your words. I told Alicia, I need to, I want to be healthy in my old age. And I started confessing, I crave what I need the most. I just started saying that by faith. And now I lost a taste for some foods and gained a taste for others. And it works. You find yourself not wanting stuff that you don't really need, and you start craving things that you do. And I continue to say things like that. If anything, the Lord taught me to confess that my will is his will. Whatever he wants to do, that's what I want to do. And then I can cooperate and avoid these kind of storms. And it works.
Brother Thurston, the world is deceptive.
Yeah.
And they found that out. They landed in this harbor. It was called Fair Havens. Safe harbor.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And only to find out, this isn't a good place to be. All right. Wintertime, this is not a fair haven. We gotta get out of here,
Yeah.
So, you can be deceived by the world. I imagine that captain was tired of being deceived.
Yeah.
But he continued to listen to the captain.
When Paul said, it looked like he was wrong. Yeah. I told my children, I said, everything sounds good.
Yeah.
What God say, what Satan say, what the world think, it all sounds good from a certain point of view. But when you know the word of God, you know that there's something wrong. There's something in the milk's not clean. And it, when Satan lied to you, it's not always detectable. If you have a healthy amount of God's word in your heart, when he lies, you can detect it. When the Holy Spirit give you that feeling on the inside, you know, that's a red light. You know something. You may not know it in your mind. You may not even know it in your heart like you want to, but when the Holy Spirit give you that red flag, you know, back off, slow down, stop. But when he gives you a release to do something and a peace to do something, you know that's him, and you can trust it even when it don't look good. So learning to follow him is going to prove to be more and more necessary, because it's like Pastor Jim said years ago when I first came. He said that the closer we get to Jesus' return, the closer we get to the warfare, mm-hmm. Satan too. Mm-hmm. The battle gets more intense as we get closer to that day. Now is the time we're going to have to trust God quick. We're going to have to trust whatever he say promptly. And be active about it, determined to do whatever he put in our hearts. This morning he had me saying that, God can take a little bit and do a lot. He can take a fraction and do a great work.
Amen.
So whatever he say, even if it don't seem important, do what he say do. It's going to work. It's going to turn out good. And next week we'll see how it went with that that trip.
Yeah.
And Paul, he did his part. He warned them. Now, as all this was unfolding, I could see them trusting him more and more. And he ended up, he said, don't jump off the ship. Stay in the ship or we're going to see what they trusted his wisdom later on. And there are going to be times when God's going to give us something to say to rescue somebody else. And if we do our part, we can help save lives, sustain lives, get people saved, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it'll be strategic, and it'll be good. But if we don't want to end up saying something, something told me not to do that, and I did it anyway. And we can be so determined. I've been so determined in my own will that when the Lord speaks, I have to make myself stop. And regroup. I had failures in the past where I went on forward and got duped. And then I said, Lord, I don't want that to happen. That's unnecessary. I don't want that to happen anymore. And I asked him, how do I stop it? And then, you learn things in his presence and you find out, he works with us. And we'll pick up at verse 12 next week. Dear Lord, I thank you for the move of God. I thank you for what you're doing. I pray that you are mightily moving our lives. Help us to regard help your voice to be the loudest to us, louder than our own will and louder than the will of others. And bless us to go forward in you, doing all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
All right. Glory to God. Yeah.